Jeremy Seifert wants you to eat trash, and by trash he's referring to the vast amount of food that stores throw away every day. Every year, so just how much food are we throwing away?
96 billion pounds of food. 263 million pounds a day. 11 million pounds an hour. 3,000 pounds a second.
Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickert, and I'm happy to be with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we'll be joined by Jeremy Seifert, writer and director of the documentary Dive. And, of course, we always want to hear from you. Would you consider dumpster diving to cut food waste in America? And how can we better combat waste in our food system, especially in the face of so much hunger in America? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can shoot us an email at talk@WPR.org. And you can always reach us on our Facebook page and chime in with your comments and questions there as well. You'll find a link to the Veronica Rickert Show at WPR.org. And we are waiting to get hold of our guest in Los Angeles. I understand he had a late night last night. And I do want to say that the film was an astonishing film to watch. I don't know if you've seen it, had the opportunity to see it yet. It's called Dive the Film. And it opens with scenes of our guest, Jeremy Seifert, literally diving into a garbage dumpster with some buddies. It's late at night. It's Los Angeles. And they're pulling out these immense bags of food. They're pulling out cartons of eggs. They're pulling out lettuce and packs of wrapped meat as well. So it's really an astonishing look at what our food system will throw away, especially as the food approaches its sell-by date, or if, say, there's a bruised lime in a bag of limes. Now, in the film, Jeremy clips on, he kind of picks on Trader Joe's because that's where he gets a lot of his best pickings from. And he doesn't get terribly far in his quest to talk with the upper management there about how to go about getting food into the hands of people who need it, into people who are truly hungry. So we want to know your experience, and we'll go ahead and we'll start taking phone calls a little bit early as we try to reach Jeremy Seifert, whose number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And let's see if we can go to Connie now, who is joining us from Portage. Hi, Connie.
Yes, I had just had an experience yesterday that just horrified me. I was in Walmart in Portage, and I was going to get some
Oh, I think we just lost her. Maybe you can call back, Connie. And in the meantime, let's see if we can listen to another clip from the film, just to give you a taste of it.
So there are three basic rules to dumpster diving. Rule number one,
never take more than you need. Unless you find it a good home.
Rule number two.
First ones to the dumpster has first dibs. But you always gotta share.
And rule number three.
You leave it cleaner than you found it. You leave it cleaner than you found it. Does that sound right?
So the rules there of dumpster diving. In this case, we're talking explicitly about food. I know people go dumpster diving for all kinds of things. But in this film, we're talking particularly about food waste. And our guest this morning feeds his entire family on food from the dumpsters. And they process it, they freeze it, they buy a big freezer for storage. And they have a small child. So it raises the question, you know, if this food is unsafe, is it really unsafe? Can we feed families off this food? And let's see if we can go back to one of our callers. Is Connie back with us? Nope, we don't have Connie yet. Well, what about dumpster diving? Is this something that you have had experience with? Would you consider trying to feed your family on food from the dumpster? What about the food safety issues? And what do you think we should be doing about getting food into the hands of those who need it in America? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1234. And the film is called Dive, and it has begun screening, I think, in 2010. And there's so many food issues involved right now. Food consciousness has been on the rise, obviously with Michael Pollan being at the vanguard of that. And it seems as though consciousness is rising about why food matters so much, why we should care, and how to take part in the food system and make sure it works for everybody. And let's see if we can listen to another clip and see if we can get, we've got full phone lines now. So appreciate you calling in. And I'm looking forward to taking some of those phone calls. So we'll listen to a clip and we'll see whether we can get some of you on the line and talk to you as we wait for our guest to come through. We do know he's there and we're trying to reach him. So let's listen to another clip. And then I think Connie will be first back with us.
Oh, here's the meat.
No antibiotics ever. No added hormones ever. Free range, it's good meat.
All of these, perfectly good eggs, because one was cracked. Didn't even get all over the other ones, just threw them all away. This is what they're doing with everything. They have bags of avocados. One goes bad, they throw the entire bag of avocados out. Apples, oranges, everything. They're just tossing it for no good reason. They're all good. These are all good eggs.
And again, a clip from the film Dive, directed by Jeremy Seifert, who is trying to reach us now. And I hope that will be completed in the very near future. But let's go now. Connie is back with us. Hello, Connie.
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. I stopped the car and I'm out in the field. But anyway, yesterday I was in Walmart and I wanted some General Chow's chicken. And the container was full. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I have to throw this out. And I said, why would you throw that out? And she said, it's 2 hours old. And I had to wait while she made more. But the whole container was beautiful chicken. They had to throw it out. Hmm. So I thought I would just let you know that.
It's so interesting. So do you have any problem with eating anything that would say, maybe if it's older, Connie, than 2 hours, would you have problems eating something that was a day old?
A day old? No.
Yeah.
I have fried chicken before, and I'm 72. I have fried chicken all my life and left it sitting out on the counter at night and eaten it the next day. My whole family has. We don't like refrigerated chicken after it's been cooked. And we've never been sick.
Well, that's such an interesting story. I thank you so much for sharing it with us,
sure.
Connie. And
this is
the kind of thing that our guest will be talking with us about. And I think we may have him now. Do we have Jeremy Seifert on with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jeremy, it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for your patience as we tried to get through with you. I'm not sure what the difficulties were, but it's lovely to have you on now. And so we were listening to clips from your film, and I want you to paint it. You'll paint it in words better than I did, but your film opens with shots of you and your friends going dumpster diving late at night in Los Angeles. And it's an eye-opener what you find in those trash cans. Can you tell us about one of your typical dives?
Yeah. let's see, a typical dive. They're all maybe atypical because you're out late at night digging through trash cans. But there are many stores right near where I live, and typically you have to go after, you know, 12:30 at night. That's when it's most successful, and you don't run into angry employees at that hour either. And the last amazing dive I did was filled with fresh ahi tuna and loaves and loaves of sourdough bread, baby broccoli, and many, many meals for many people in the dumpster. And actually, my parents were out here for last Thanksgiving, and on Thanksgiving morning, the Trader Joe's stores are closed. So my dad and I went in the morning on Thanksgiving, and the dumpster was just overflowing with all sorts of amazing food, mostly lots of pizzas and pizza dough and, like, turkey stuffing. There were no actual whole turkeys, which I was hoping for.
Well, and you say in the film that by dumpster diving, getting your food from the dumpster, you're actually eating a lot better than you could afford to if you were just walking into the store and paying regular price.
Exactly. And that's simply because of the abundance of the food and the quality of the food being thrown out.
Along the way in this story, I mean, you start by feeding your family and not wanting to see these vast amounts of food going to waste. And before you joined us, I was talking about the bags of meat. You'd find this shrink-wrapped meat and salad mixes and eggs. And there's just so much abundance there that you're walking away with garbage bags full. But at a certain point, you realize that, you know, there are people who are hungry in America, and the vast amount that's not getting into people's stomachs. Can you tell us a little bit about how much food we're wasting in America?
Yeah, the rough estimate is that it's about 96 billion pounds of food here. But there's no real hard numbers on that, because grocery stores don't have to keep track of their food waste, and we don't have to keep track of our food waste in our household. So these numbers are now being more based on how much food we produce and have and import, based on how much food we could possibly eat as a country. And it breaks down to roughly close to 40 to 50% of our food is being thrown away. And related to that food waste is close to 25% of our fresh water that's used, and about 300 million barrels of oil go to food that is being wasted. And if you think about how food is produced and the amount of pesticides, herbicides, you know, soil erosion, water, not only water use, but water being impacted by, you know, the chemical fertilizers and the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico. All of these things are related to food that we should be eating but throw out. And of course, the issue of hunger. 1 in 8 Americans on food stamps, over 40 million people, and close to 11 million that actually sometimes have to forego meals, and they have real hunger issues. And that, in contrast to endless waste, almost 3,000 pounds a second.
Huh. It's staggering, isn't it? I mean, it kind of blows your mind. Those numbers are so large, it's hard to even conceive that we're throwing 40 to 50% of our food away. Why? What is the reason for that?
Yeah, that's kind of the question of the film. And when I'm talking to this guy, Dr. Timothy Jones, I say, what kind of society would waste this much food? And he says, the kind of society that would waste this much food is one that doesn't value the earth and the products it produces. And I think something happened, you know, after the Industrial Revolution, and our view of the world and our, you know, domination of it. And I think that, together with wealth, there's always excess, and with excess, there's always waste, kind of like the spoiled child scenario. And I think, you know, the food system itself is broken, and just the kinds of food we're producing are disgusting, actually. I mean, the next film I'm working on is on genetically modified food, and that kind of was born out of this topic.
Well, I know that in your film, it seems like a lot of the food that you're finding in this dumpster is food that is going to hit its suggested expiration date the next day. So they throw it out then, or there's, like you said, a mushy avocado or a rotten lime and a bag of limes, the rest of which are perfectly good. Is that what's happening? Is it that these companies who sell this food, they're overly concerned with litigation, and so they get rid of it to kind of preemptively stop that possibility?
Yeah, and I can't speak for all the companies as a whole, because they all are different and all have their different reasons for wasting this food. I mean, some of them just have corporate policies that aren't favorable to giving food, and some of them, stores are locked into that corporate policy. Like, so if you go to a Safeways and say, hey, I'd like to pick up all your food waste and take it to this food bank or food shelter over here, they say, oh, okay, sure. We can give you bread and pastries. And you say, what about the meat and the dairy? And this, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'd love to give you that, but we just can't. You got to call corporate headquarters. Whereas a Trader Joe's, which we've taken a lot of flack for this, change.org petition we have, there's close to 80,000 signatures saying, you know, tell Trader Joe's to stop wasting food. And the reason we've taken a lot of heat is that so many Trader Joe's stores are giving their food, and they're doing amazing things. And a lot of people have been emailing me saying, hey, quit picking on them. They're giving us all their food. I'm from Bellingham, Washington, or I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. But what we're asking Trader Joe's is we're not trying to pick on the individual stores and say that they're not donating food. We're saying, please adopt a corporate-wide policy, because we know that some of your stores aren't doing a good job, and we want you to be a leader. And furthermore, the food that you can't give to be eaten, that should be composted. It shouldn't be carted off to the landfill to produce methane gas, which is 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So although Trader Joe's is doing so many great things, and they really are, so many of their stores are giving a lot of food, they still have a lot of room for growth. Just if you watch the film, I think it's pretty obvious that they do.
Well, there's a sequence in your film where you decide to try to get in touch with the head honcho at Trader Joe's corporate headquarters, and you decide the best way to do this, well, you try an in-person visit, you get cleaned up, and that doesn't work, and then you decide to send a letter a day. And tell us what happened with that.
Yeah, after when I got cleaned up, I decided to, you know, not go Michael Moore style, which would, you know, be barging in there with a camera rolling. I went in just as a concerned citizen of Pasadena and asked them to talk to me about this issue, and that I thought there were ways that we could meet the growing needs of hunger in the empty shelves in the food pantries with food waste. And they simply would not talk to me. They just asked me to leave. And then when I started sending a letter a day, after a couple weeks or a few weeks, I got a phone call from the public relations person. She said, you know, please stop talking to us. Please stop writing us. We're not gonna talk to you about this. So yeah, they sort of set themselves up to be attacked a little bit because of their unwillingness to communicate and to talk. Since then, we've had more conversations with them. Actually, when the first radio story aired on NPR, suddenly they were open to talking a little bit. And I know that because of the film, and since the film has been released, they have improved their donations in all their stores. We've you know, received emails from food banks, one in Colorado, that said, hey, you guys, thank you so much. Look at this email that we were included on that came from Trader Joe's to all their stores and to the Feeding America people to increase donations and do a better job.
Oh, that's great. So you really made a difference then. Have you seen other examples of your film making a difference in the amount of food that doesn't get wasted?
You know, most of it has just been small grassroots type things. And it's just those individual emails that come in, or phone calls from people that say, I saw your film and now we've connected with our local store and are picking up food and taking it to the people who need it. Or, you know, just a husband and wife. We saw your film and we went dumpster diving in the bakery shop behind your house and got all this amazing bread. As far as real legislation, we're trying to push a few Congress members to pursue food waste legislation in this Congress. And that's still maybe going to happen. The conversations are still happening. Getting back to your prior question, I didn't quite answer it. Another reason all this food is thrown away, you know, a store like Trader Joe's, I think they're getting better, but they still do this thing where they put, you know, four tomatoes in a plastic container, and they sell them as a four-pack. And so if one of those tomatoes gets mold on it, they throw away the whole four-pack. And that's, you know, insanity. One, because they're not composting the waste. They're not recycling the recyclable container. But there's three really good tomatoes. And if they simply practiced what Fresh and Easy does, they could take it to the back, take out the bad tomato, put in a good tomato, and put it back in the supermarket. And this is going to have to become the norm. We cannot keep wasting. I believe that in 5 or 10 years, every single grocery store will be zero waste. We're simply pushing Trader Joe's to do it now and to be a leader, and to adopt a program more akin to Albertson's Fresh Rescue Program, or actually Walmart has a corporate-wide policy to give all food waste.
Well, we're talking this hour with Jeremy Seifert, he's the writer and director of the documentary Dive about food waste in America and his habit of going into the dumpsters of Los Angeles and feeding his family on what he finds there. And we want to hear from you as well. Would you consider dumpster diving for your food to cut food waste in America? And how do you think we can better combat waste like this and tackle the problem of hunger? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And our email is talk@wpr.org. Veronica Rickert with you this Friday morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we're joined by Jeremy Seifert, who is the writer and director of the documentary film Dive, about diving for food from the waste that's thrown away from grocery stores. Jeremy lives in Los Angeles, and he feeds his family and his young son with food he finds in the dumpster. And we'll go to Nathan as our first call. Nathan is calling us from Beloit. Hi there.
Hi, yeah, I'm actually a college student at Northwestern College in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. A lot of my experience, I guess, with dumpster diving, I was basically part of this whole subculture of students that in order to save money, especially in this economy, we would head out after store hours and just check out all the treasures that they would throw away for us. And so, so you guys know that the college scene is booming with dumpster diving kids. One funny story, actually, that we had, we were planning on having a pizza party, but everybody showed up and was kind of complaining about not having enough money. So we went outside of a Little Caesars, and we waited until they closed, and they brought out about 10 boxes of unsold pizza that they were just going to throw away. And we asked them for it, and they gave it right to us. So, for college students, it was a cheap, fun, easy way to save money.
Nice. So if you're resourceful, you can find the food. Jeremy, what do you think?
That's wonderful. It's great to hear that. And one comment on that is, you know, I've been taking a few angry emails from dumpster divers saying, hey, stop talking about this. You're ruining dumpster diving for us. Because, you know, when stores get wind of it, they get scared and they could lock their dumpsters. And the thing about it is, you know, really, I don't want to mess up dumpster diving for anybody. I think it's a great freeing thing to do and really connects you with the problem more deeply. But the issue here is larger than making dumpster diving better or promoting it. Really, we want empty dumpsters and full bellies. And the Little Caesars example is great because they went on that particular night and asked for the pizzas. Well, what about, you know, the hundreds of nights that they didn't do that or aren't doing that? Are those pizzas being thrown away every night? And the same thing for dumpster divers who go pick up food and, you know, dumpsters at Trader Joe's or wherever. Many nights they aren't doing that, and so many nights that food is being thrown away and taken to a landfill. So we really need to get at the core of the problem, which is the food shouldn't be thrown away in the first place.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Nathan. And we'll move next to Mark from Wauwatosa. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. Hey, Jeremy. Good job, my friend. This is awesome. A couple things. How many people do you think have died dumpster diving and eating expired food? The answer would probably be very few, considering the dumpster is not refrigerated and probably has more germs than the store shelf. People still aren't dying. That would tell me that we're throwing away food way, way, way before the expiration date. Then the question is why? Is it a corporate policy? Yeah. Why? Insurance. Litigation. So I'm just giving some thought as to how to attack this problem. It's got to be we've set the bar legally too high or too low as far as what the expiration date is, and maybe that's one way to approach this.
Yeah, great, great thoughts there, Mark, about food safety. I mean, I guess that's one big issue, and the other is how real are these expiration dates?
Yeah, those are fantastic thoughts, and I think that that's another example of getting even, you know, deeper into the issue and more further behind it to attack it at the roots of the problem. And one of those is the expiration dates. And, of course, they're set way too soon because everybody's scared. Everybody's scared of being sued. And also the relationship of grocery stores with their manufacturers. There's some really bad relationships happening there where big grocery stores have the power to really influence the manufacturers and the prices and kind of make it more difficult for them. And also then manufacturers don't want their products going bad on the grocery store shelves, and then they'll lose their deals with the grocery stores. But I think everyone is being far too careful. And, of course, we, as in our homes, are far too careful. I mean, you have leftovers in your refrigerator for a few days. Most people open up that casserole and kind of look at it. And especially people in my age and generation, you know, go, I don't know. I don't want to risk it. Like, I'm going to get sick. So they throw it out. And that's just a lack of knowledge of our food.
So what do we need to know that will make us feel better about it? I mean, what rule of thumb do you use? If something looks funky, if it smells weird, how do you actually know when it's bad?
You really learn to trust your nose. I mean, especially with meat. There's an amazing story. I pulled these big garbage bags of meat out of the dumpster. It was all from Australia. And, you know, it's been shipped across the world and ends up in a dumpster and is going to go to a landfill and be buried. So I take these huge bags of meat home, and there's probably like 70 packages of this meat. And it's really weird because usually they throw it away the day before it expires, and this was 6 days early. So I thought, there's something strange about this. But it looked beautiful. So I take one inside, and I open it up, and it smells like a dead rat. And so I get on the Internet, perfectly red, good-looking meat, smells like dead rat. What's going on? And find out that a lot of these companies are putting, they put chemicals underneath the cellophane to keep it looking fresh. And one of those is carbon monoxide. So it could actually look beautiful and fresh, but maybe it got left out along the route or something. But in that case, you can just trust your nose. I mean, it looked beautiful, but it was bad. Okay. In other cases, a lot of meat doesn't look beautiful. It has a little brown in it, and it's perfectly fine. It's great. But we have been conditioned. I don't know if you know, it's manufactured consent or what, but you know, we've demanded it of the grocery stores, or they've given it to us, and now we've grown to love it. But we demand that our food, all of it, look perfect. Or our idea of perfect, meaning like in a plastic fake world or something. But a lot of food, if you grow your own, tomatoes are funky and have holes in them and stuff, but they taste better than any tomato you get at the grocery store.
So maybe beware of food that's too perfect, and obviously also beware of the dead rat smell. That's a tip off as well.
Yes, the dead rat smell.
Not a good thing. Let's go to Bonnie next from River Falls. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi there.
Hi.
I actually I'm a waste management consultant, and I set up waste management programs in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And we are very blessed to have a program that doesn't seem to be authorized in other parts of the country, but it was authorized in Minnesota decades ago. And that is, the pig farmers come and pick up waste, the food waste, from restaurants and hotels and grocery stores. And they pick it up to 6 days a week. They pick it up right away, get it to the farm. They steam heat it so that all the bacteria, germs, and viruses are killed. And they feed it to their pigs. And their pigs are incredibly healthy, and the meat is really good that the pigs offer. And I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands of tons a year are picked up by the pig farmers in the Twin Cities. And this is all approved by University of Minnesota and the FDA, and they've got all their approvals. They're monitored highly. And there are restaurants and grocery stores that have very little waste. And you know that food waste, because it's so wet and heavy, attributes to the largest part of the waste stream for these facilities. It's just a fantastic program, and I don't know why it's not. I can't figure out why Wisconsin doesn't have it. We're right over the border here from Minnesota. I happen to live in Wisconsin, but all my work is in the Twin Cities. I don't know why that type of waste minimization program hasn't been approved in Wisconsin or any other state that I know of. It's so logical. I mean, it used to be done years ago before they had all these high-tech ways of heating the food. Now, you know, then they abolished it for probably some liability issues, but now it's cooked so highly, there's nothing there that contaminates anything.
Hmm. Well, thank you, Bonnie. That's so interesting. And Jeremy, have you heard of that sort of food reuse program?
Yeah, I have. Not in the Twin Cities, which is fantastic. If you check out Tristram Stewart's book called Waste, he looks at the global problem of food waste in that book, and he gives a few examples. I believe it was from Japan and South Korea doing similar programs to that, which, again, makes so much sense. Of course, I think first on the pecking order would be any edible food first goes to humans for human consumption, and then if it's a little funky or doesn't look that great, then, yeah, feed it to pigs or the vegetables and other things that are rotten, make compost with them. I have 4 chickens in the backyard. They love to eat some of the food waste that we do have, and then they produce eggs for us, so that's nice.
Hmm. One of the things in your film that sticks out is how confident you are with feeding others with your food. You have a small boy, and I'm not sure how old he is now, but in the film he looks like he's about 2 or 3. And he's eating the food you bring out of the dumpster. There is a bridal shower where the pregnant woman there is eating the food from the dumpster. Do you think this is becoming more mainstream?
perhaps it is. I'm not sure. I think because of the film, it's definitely becoming more, you know, widely acceptable. I mean, we definitely had people that would come over and friends that would come over that were not okay with, you know, when I'd say, well, hey, before we eat dinner, I just thought I should let you know that the chicken breast came out of the trash can. but then once people actually eat it and try it, they understand that, wow, this is okay, and it's amazing. And, I mean, we had to overcome that same hurdle. The first time I went dumpster diving and I brought home trash, I mean, and I had a young son at the time, and at the time my wife was pregnant, so I wanted to be extremely careful and probably ended up re-throwing away more food than was necessary in the beginning because I was just kind of scared of it. Especially, you know, if you're pulling fish or something out of the dumpster, you got to be really careful. I mean, there are food safety issues, and, you know, I learned how to test eggs and trust my nose and all sorts of stuff, but... Maybe it is becoming more mainstream. I hope what's becoming more mainstream is an awareness of food waste, an awareness that we cannot continue in this way, and more connections happening with those who are hungry and food that we have in excess.
Well, one of the issues of waste that you highlight, you know, as you're talking about the Australian meat you found and the chicken breast you serve, is meat. And according to your equation, when we waste a pound of meat, we're actually wasting 7 pounds of food.
Exactly. Seven pounds of grain and close to 2,500 gallons of water. And we're up to 222 pounds of meat per person in this country. Countries like China, who are up and coming, the main food now that they're demanding is meat. It's one of the luxuries of wealth, I suppose, but it's a luxury that this planet cannot sustain. And I think that's where, you know, you look at the system in our country, and you have the big biotech agrochemical companies saying, we have to have this genetically modified food to feed the world. What they're doing is they're making a bunch of corn and soy to, one, feed animals which is completely unhealthy for the animals, and the animals have to be pumped full of antibiotics and other things. And two, they're highly processed, feeding all of our children candy and soda pop filled with corn syrup, which is killing us. So that's the lie. The lie is that we need that kind of technology and that kind of food to feed the world. Whereas there have been global reports saying that small ecological farming, organic farming, is the way that the world is going to be fed and is being fed largely, except for mostly here in the United States.
Jeremy Seifert, our guest this hour. He is the writer and director of the documentary film Dive. And we're curious to hear your thoughts about dumpster diving for food. Would you consider feeding your family on food from the dumpster? And why do you think we're so wasteful in America? Where does that come from and what can we do about it? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, and our email is talk@wpr.org. And you can also chime in on our Facebook page at The Veronica Rickert Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert, keeping you company this Friday morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we talk with Jeremy Seifert, who is writer and director of the documentary Dive. And here's a clip from the film.
In a world where millions are starving, America has become the breadbasket as well as the arsenal of democracy. Our farmlands and ranges must produce more food than ever before to supply our own needs and to help our fighting allies.
With science at his service and the greatest food-producing country in the world backing him up, the American soldier, no matter where he may be, in the jungle, in the Arctic, in the desert, or in his home camp, can rightly consider himself the best-fed soldier in the world. And in the future, the war-born knowledge that has made him so, when spread over the world, can guarantee that no one on earth need suffer from malnutrition or from hunger.
A clip from the documentary Dive, what we're discussing today about the enormous amount of food waste in America. And Jeremy, what that clip gets at is that it didn't always used to be this way. I mean, especially during wartime, there were victory gardens and Americans were encouraged to eat smaller portions and be very frugal with their food. So what changed?
Wow. That's a great question. It's a big question. And the irony of using World War II in Dive to show that, hey, we have it within us to end food waste, because that's exactly what they did during World War II. And looking at our kind of great-grandparents' generation, there's so much amazing material out there about reducing food waste and how to can. I mean, all these things that we no longer really know how to do because we're so removed from food. So the irony is that I'm using that in the film to show that, hey, we have it in us to stop food waste. But exactly in doing so during World War II, out of that was born sort of industrial agriculture, which I think is, you know, a big part of the problem now, and removing people from food so that there's less value placed on food, and just the gutting of the small family farm and really buying local, which is another reason that food waste is so easy, and the highly processed food that travels thousands of miles, so much waste happens right there. There's a resurgence happening, which is so great. Buying local, planting gardens in your own yards. And I think the more we're connected with food, the less food waste there'll be. I mean, if you plant a seed and watch a tomato plant grow and wait 2.5 or 3 months to get that juicy tomato, you are not going to waste it because you saw how much time and energy and life went into producing it.
Do you think that gets at the idea of why America? Because I think you said earlier that we're the worst offenders at this sort of waste. Why do you think it's particular to us?
Oh, man. It, well, at least I know that it's not just us. We happen to be the worst because we have more food per capita than any other country. But the food waste in the EU and other wealthy countries is very near our food waste percentage-wise. So it seems to be more something that is akin to just wealthy countries. And again, I think it gets back to when you have wealth and excess, inevitably there's waste. And this is a bad habit that is born out of our excesses. And I think also that removal of the average person from earth and dirt and growing food.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that it's changing, and it's interesting that, you know, as you said, you keep chickens in Los Angeles, and these are things that people are discovering they can do in urban areas too, not just out in the country.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think all these lawns, you know, I just drove from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., up to New York, and all the way back to Los Angeles. So I got back last night working on this film on genetically modified food. But anyway, I just looking at all these front yards everywhere, and when I go on walks, places, almost no one uses their front yard. It's this weird thing where everyone has grass in their front yards. They use all sorts of water to keep it green. And I don't see anybody out there playing in their front yards or having picnics. I'm sure, you know, more backyards get used for that than the front yards. But so everybody could easily turn their front yard into an edible garden, and that would be huge on so many levels for our food and also for the environment.
Right. Well, let's get another caller in on this. This is Max with us from St. Paul. Hi, Max.
Yes, hi. Got a question. Jeremy mentioned that he believes in 5 to 10 years we'll be approaching a zero waste situation. And I just wondered how that's going to affect the people who are getting their meals from dumpster diving, specifically the homeless or the hungry, and how that will affect food shelves at an infrastructure level.
All right. Thanks, Max.
Hopefully it will impact them only in positive ways so they can get their food in a more dignified manner rather than scrounging through a trash can. Because programs, the food's still going to be there. I mean, we have to produce more than we need. It's just what society and civilizations have always done. I mean, because what if something goes bad? What if a crop fails? So there's always going to be excess food. It's just, can we not throw it away and give it to people who need it? And, you know, places like in the film God Provides Food Bank, that's a perfect example. Their Fresh Rescue program. They literally are taking food that would be in the dumpster, but they get it before it's in the dumpster. So, in effect, they're ruining dumpster diving for some dumpster divers. But any of those people who are really in need and can't afford their food can go to God Provides, and they will fill your car up with food. And they'll do it with a nice variety of sort of all the food groups. So that's a far better scenario than making sure that there's still food being thrown into dumpsters.
All right, well, thank you for your question, Max. Appreciate that. And here's a comment from Facebook. Gigi says, my husband worked for one of the big food companies, and they said the expiration date was 2 years off, and their food was good for 2 years after the dates, but they threw away tons of food, and they wouldn't allow us to take it to pantries because of legal reasons and also branding issues. 2 years seems a bit of a stretch, doesn't it? Are our expiration dates really set ahead by 2 years?
I mean, it depends on the food. I mean, a Twinkie, I don't even know if a Twinkie has an expiration date, but or crackers or something. I mean, you could probably eat those 2 years after. And there's a lot of confusion on, you know, there's best by, use by, expires.
Right.
There's a whole slew of language that actually, you know, really confuses the consumer. And so I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I think there is some work being done out there for streamlining the labeling system a bit to make it more user-friendly and so there's not confusion.
Let's get another call in. Chris joins us from the road somewhere in Wisconsin. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
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 One of the things that was really brought to my mind as I'm driving here through Wisconsin on my way back to Iowa, I'm a teacher in Northwest Iowa, and that is the amount of food that's being thrown away in our lunch programs.
Oh, man.
As I sit in the lunchroom and watch kids emptying their plates into the garbage, I'm seeing a lot of food that is going into the trash can, and I'm wondering, as a teacher, and a science teacher in particular, what are some things I could do with my students to try to change that in not only our school system, but in some of the other school systems across the country?
Okay, good question.
Yeah, that's a great question and a horrific scenario and problem in this country. I mean, that we would be essentially teaching our children in the schools that it's okay to throw out food is, instead of teaching them how valuable food is and you know, all of the environmental problems surrounding food production and the needy and hungry in the world. Instead, you're right, kids are throwing away massive amounts of food. I think a great place to start would be to show them Dive. and I'm not just saying that because I made Dive, but I really, because I included my son and children in the film, I've shown it to younger audiences, I mean, all the way down to probably 6 or 7 years old, or even my son, Scout. You know, he likes it, but that's probably just because he recognizes me and his brother. But anyway, young audiences really connect with the film. They get it. They understand it in a way that, you know, maybe as adults with all of our complications and maybe being a little jaded and pittered and tired, kids really get it. And they understand that, hey, you can't waste food. That's not right. And I think that's a really good place to start. And then build some lessons around the film, and you know, simple things like going trayless in schools. When they remove the tray, a kid can't fill his tray with a bunch of stuff he's not going to eat or she's not going to eat. So they just have one plate, and that reduces food waste enormously. Mm. And, you know, take the kids to the local landfill and show them, look, all this trash that we throw away, including all this food, it goes here, and it gets buried, and it's not good because it can't really go anywhere. And I think there's so much you can teach around this issue. You could probably fill a whole, you know, semester of stuff related to this topic in the film.
Jeremy, is your film screening anywhere in or near Wisconsin anytime soon?
Oh, man. I actually don't know. If you go to DiveTheFilm.com, there's a screening page there, and it just was released on DVD, so it is now available as of July 19th, and I believe it's on Netflix. It was supposed to be on Netflix July 19th, but it was delayed a little bit. But anyway, I think you can get on Netflix and watch it too. And if you're a teacher out there or work at a school, please contact us through the website, and we can work with you for public screenings.
I think I might have seen that there's a screening in early August in, what was it, Palatine, Illinois, maybe. But, you know, don't quote me on that. Go to the website and check it out. And as we end here also, caller wanted to know if you could provide us with some websites where we can get more resources on how to create a movement to change laws on food and food waste.
Wow, that's a great question. I think the best place to start, just offhand, so it's easy for people to go to, is go to the website, DiveTheFilm.com, and we have links on there. And I think clicking on those links and reading some of those articles and going to some of those websites will then lead you to other sites and places.
And tell us your website, Jeremy.
It's DiveTheFilm.com.
DiveTheFilm.com, and we'll have a link to that on our website, too, if you want to find a link there at The Veronica Rickard Show. And, you know, in terms of people who want to take, you know, the old baby steps thing, we don't want to waste as much food, but maybe we don't want to be up at 2 a.m. inside a dumpster either. What are some small things that we can do?
A great thing you could do is really easy. Go to change.org, and there's the petition that we have to ask Trader Joe's to adopt corporate-wide policy to end food waste, and that's tell Trader Joe's to stop wasting food. So that's on change.org. That would be a great thing to do. Another great thing is, I mean, you have to start in your own home. Get a little compost bin, put it outside. That'll make amazing soil for your garden anyway. But it's called eating down your fridge. You have to eat down your fridge. You can't just always go by your palate or what sounds good. Sometimes we have to eat based on what we have. And so you have to look in your fridge and say, what are we going to eat, not what do I want to eat right now? Learn how to make soup, because you can take wilted carrots and wilted everything and make an amazing soup. And, you know, they're not bad just because they are wilted or look funky.
Well, Jeremy, thank you.
Those are some simple things.
All right. Thank you so much. We're out of time, but it's been great talking with you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Jeremy Seifert, writer and director of the documentary film Dive. Thanks to Jennifer Dargan for answering phones and for producing last hour's show on restorative justice. And thanks to Rhonda Fanning for production on this hour.